Today on Real Radio.
As it is written, for your sakes, we, the ministers of God, are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Paul was a true shepherd. Whatever caused his flock pain, caused him pain. Whatever brought them joy, brought Paul joy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 3 of this letter written by Paul, and he's been speaking of the equality that is now between the Jew and the Gentile who follow Messiah. The author had what is often referred to as an eternal perspective. Today's presentation focuses on verses 11 through 13 and is called God's Eternal Purposes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God does not tolerate us. God has accepted us and is accepting us now. We so often go, God, I promised you and I really let you down. You didn't let him down. You think when he said, God, I'll never sin again. I love you so much, I'm never going to sin, God. You think God goes, oh man, wow, finally somebody's after my own heart. He's never going to sin. Michael, Gabriel, did you hear that? Why can't you be like him? He's a right-on guy. And then you blow it. Oh God, I promised you. You think he goes, oh no. You think he does. You feel like he does. You know, the moment you made that promise, you think God's up there, you know, biting on his nails. Oh, I hope it doesn't slip up. No way. He knows what's coming. Don't ever make God a promise. You can't fulfill it. The scripture says don't make a vow. You have no power to perform it. When you blow it, he doesn't panic and you disappoint him. He knows. He knows that. He doesn't tolerate us. He's excited about us. Listen to this. Concerning boldness here in verse 12. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us courage. It's the boldness with the understanding that should generate within us a courage. It's the kind of boldness we're talking about here. The word in the Greek means this, a free outspokenness, a fearless speech. The word means to have a cheerful assurance, a bluntness. Isn't that interesting? That's what that word means in the original language. Fearless speech. The kind of boldness that children have. You ever see a little child, some of you, many of you work with little children in daycare and Christian schools and public schools. They're so cute, the little ones. The little ones are cute. And you say, wow, whose picture's that? It's mine. What is that? It's my, you know, my mommy. And they just have such authority. Isn't it pretty? Isn't she pretty? Isn't this nice? And they're just like, wow, they're so sure. This is the kind of boldness that it's talking about. They have absolute boldness. Whose car is that? Mine. They're just sure. And that's how God wants us to be concerning our relationship to Him. To have a boldness of free speech. I'll never forget this little guy, Matthew. I taught the five-year-olds at Calvary Costa Mesa for 3 years. It was a blast. And this little guy, Matthew, showed up every Sunday with a bow tie. First Sunday I had that kid, I said, what does your dad do? He's all decked out and super duper clothes. What does your dad do anyway? This kid's like wearing a tuxedo to Sunday school. And I remember sitting in a class, 35 kids, you're packed in there. And man, I had this shiner on my nose. I mean, I had this thing, it was like Mount Rushmore, just kind of, and it was hurting. And I'm standing there, and I'm going, okay, kids, open up your Bible. Excuse me. What is it? I want to ask you a question. Not now. Now, turn, open your Bibles. He's got his hand up there. What is it? What's that thing on your nose? I couldn't believe it. I said, just shut up, kid. You're bothering me. I said, you'll know soon enough. Just wide open. That's the boldness. That's the kind of boldness. We are to have that kind of boldness. Now, we're laughing and we're playing, and that's exactly, are you ready for this? That's exactly how God wants you to enter into His presence. Hi, God, I'm here. You're not supposed to tiptoe anymore. That's the awesome news about what Paul was writing. The Old Testament had a covenant and had a practice where the priest went in once a year trembling with fear. That was the Old Testament approach to God. And Jesus has come so that we can walk in and jump in His lap reverently to have that boldness. Isn't that amazing? You think I'm kidding? Jot this down, Hebrews 4:16. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. It's a boldness that abounds. That's bounding. Running in to the presence of God. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow, what a verse. That's Hebrews 4:16. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. And how are you supposed to come? Jesus says, I'm the door. He says, knock, and I'll open up to you. He wants you to come in. There's a boldness about it. And brother, if you come through that door that Jesus is, you will have an opening so grand and so wonderful, you won't be able to contain it all. It'd be so wonderful in your mind. A boldness, a free outspokenness with the Lord. Wow. In whom we have boldness. This coming in. Watch this. Look what it leads to. Second thing under this point is access. And it's an access for communion, fellowship. This word access means immediate access, right now, unrestrained freedom to enter, immediate admission. No longer any need, listen carefully, of a mediator. That's what's implied here. You can come to God now without any need of having to go through a ritualistic practice or a confession to a priest or to a pastor. And if that offends you, then you need to read 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is now, or there is, excuse me, one God and one mediator, between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. Not me, not the priest, not Father so-and-so, not John Paul or Billy Graham. That is blasphemous to God now. You go to Jesus Christ directly. You go right to the Father through Jesus Christ directly. Someone in our body just lost their father. And him and I were talking for a moment, and it's not known if he knew the Lord or not. Had a sudden heart attack, from what I understand. But we don't know. And you know, you don't know. That person, one moment could have been, now I don't know if you can handle this. I personally love this. That person in one breath could have been a non-Christian and then grabs his chest, and before he hits the ground, all he has to do, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11, is call out trusting on the name of Jesus. And he grabs his heart and he's going down, and all he has to do in his mind or even with his lips, it doesn't matter. He cries out, oh God, oh Jesus, save me, or whatever. And before he hits the ground, he could be into eternity, into heaven. And you say, well, I don't buy that. The guy wasn't baptized. And, oh, you know what? You've got a problem. You've got a real legalistic, unbiblical problem with that. Deathbed conversions are awesome. And I think that's where God reels in a lot of people in the last second. But if you're works-minded, you have a hard time with that. I love it. So we don't know always. Well, was he saved? Well, he wasn't saved, but he was in a coma for 2 days. Hey, we don't know. Praise the Lord, we don't know. God, I have a personal theory about comas. I think God sometimes allows people to be into comas to shut the whole world out so God can talk to them. I believe that. When a woman can grab Jesus by the hem of his garment and say that if I just can touch the hem of his garment, which was a pagan practice in those days, I'll just be made well. She reached out in her pagan faith and touched the hem of his garment, and Jesus, his virtue, healed her. And you might say, well, they didn't come forward at the crusade rite. They didn't raise they laid their left hand and then their right hand, and then they came forward and then, oh, brother. Jesus says, you come unto me and I will no wise cast you out. Hebrews 10:11 says, and every priest, that is a priest today, after the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, it says, every priest stands ministering even daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Isn't that great news? You can sit there and do your whole priestly thing, ministering daily and repeat it over and over again. And Jesus, the Bible, Paul says, Hebrews 10, it can never take away sins. Only Jesus can. True faith in Christ, true trust in Him is enough. Romans 5, verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Isn't that neat? Thirdly, verse 12, confidence. We have confidence. He says right here that we have boldness and access with confidence. This is a great word, and I love this story I found today in this book. I had to use it for tonight. Confidence, the word is assurance of continuing on. Isn't that good news? Have you ever wondered, am I going to make it? You ever wonder, am I going to make it as a Christian? Man, all these pressures coming in my life. Am I going to make it? Listen, God has put within us the working of the Holy Spirit that will breed within us confidence that we will make it through to the end. I know I don't feel like I'm going to make it either. We'll make it because He's faithful. We can be confident because we will continue. Listen to this. There's a story I read today about a little boy, and he was visiting Buckingham Palace. And he was latched onto the gates, and he was looking in, and he kept mumbling, I want to see Queen Victoria. This is way back. I want to see Queen Victoria. I want to see Queen Victoria. And the guard came over and they said, What are you doing? I want to see Queen Victoria. And it got late. And so there's a guard that was in the palace, sees this little kid, been there for hours, so he calls the guardhouse and he says, what's going on out there? He goes, well, there's this little kid. He wants to see the queen. He keeps mumbling. He's been there for like 5 hours. So somehow it got to Prince Edward. And Prince Edward calls the guard shack and says, is that little kid still out there? He says, yes, sir, he's still there. He said, bring him to me. So they open up the gate of Buckingham Palace and they walk this little guy in there. They bring him inside and Prince Edward gets him and they bathe him and they comb his hair and do him all up and put him in brand new clothes. And then Prince Edward walked him into, past the guards, past the security, into the presence of Queen Victoria. And she said, well, who's this? He said, this is my friend. And he crawled right up there and sat on the Queen's lap. The Queen of England sat on her lap. And the guy went on to tell the story that that little guy, sitting in that bathtub all bubbled up, hair combed, all brand new clothes, he said there was a confidence about that little kid. His head lifted up. He was going to go see the Queen. And the prince was taking him there. The Bible says we are clean now through the washing of the water of the Word. He's washed us up. He's combed our hair. He's got us dressed. And the prince himself has taken us right into the castle, right into the kingdom. And you can have your head up because you're being taken there by the Prince himself, the Prince of Peace. He's going to march you right into the presence of the Father, and the Father's going to say, "Who's this?" And Jesus is going to say, "He's a friend of mine. These are the friends I told you about." And you can, and we will enter into the presence of God with confidence. Now, if you're anything like I am, I'm thinking I'm going to go in there with my tail between my legs and my Levi's kind of smoldering. That's how often I see myself coming into the presence of God. It's like, Jack, you know, like the Wizard of Oz. Oh, you know, got the lion's tail. And that's how I think. That's not how it's going to be. We are going to enter in there boldly with access to the Father and confidently because of what Jesus has done for us. The word confidence here is complete reliance, absolute trust. This is Bible. Do we have absolute confidence and complete trust and reliance in Him to do this? If we don't, we're calling Him a liar. He doesn't mean what He says. And the fourth thing is faith. Look at it here, faith. And it means connection to Christ. The faith that connects us to Christ. We have access with confidence through faith in Him. The NIV is a good Bible for the Old Testament. It's not all that great for the New, but it does a great job with this verse. The NIV Bible does a super job here, and it puts it this way. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. That's good news. That is awesome. And then look at this word faith. It means conviction about the truth, belief in what is right. Faith is the enabler. Faith in Him is what gets us along in this Christian life. Not faith in faith, but faith in Him. In Romans 1:17, it says, "For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And I know faith's a weird thing, isn't it? We believe in God. We love God. We've never even seen Him. That's a weird deal. But we love Him. On our side, it seems strange and invisible and almost impossible. On God's side, faith is the thing that links us to all the promises of God. Isn't it interesting? You know what? We were talking about this just before service. Isn't it funny? Isn't it strange how spiritual pressures, invisible pressures in life, they're invisible. In fact, it doesn't have to be spiritual. Let's say you're not even thinking on that plane. You're not a Christian. You're not thinking like that. Think about this. Think about something you hear over the phone. And it's you can't touch it. You've heard it. It's intangible, but yet it's in your head, or it's a thought, and it begins to wear on you. It's invisible, it weighs nothing, you can't see it, you can't touch it, but it's weighing on you, and it's pushing, and it's pressure on you. It's just a thought. The next thing you do, my stomach hurts. I need some Melanta. Why? It was just a thought. You stay in that condition, and now it's really messing up your body. Now you're having stress attacks, or you're having deficiencies because of the stress and the why. It was just a thought. You will experience physical trauma just because of a thought or some news that might come into your life. And you can't touch that news, can you? You can't touch that thought. But it takes on a physical attribute, doesn't it? A physical characteristic. Well, listen, faith, you can't see it. But if you have faith in God, it will affect your life and you will have peace. And you'll be able to hold your hand out and to be steady and still. You'll have peace. That's a spiritual activity that results in a physical blessing or a curse. It's interesting. Faith is visible if you look at it that way. And then finally this, we need to hurry and end this. Verse 13, he says, "Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation." What a guy. "It's my tribulation," he says, "for you." I'm in prison right now. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. I'm in prison because of you guys, but it's your glory. Paul was the ultimate pastor. Incredible man of God. He's encouraging his friends. Paul refused to be burdened or to be a burden to his congregation, emotionally, physically, or financially. He would never be a burden to them. This word tribulations, remember we studied this on a Sunday morning a little while back. The same word appeared in Thessalonians. It's the word thipsis. Remember the story we said on Sunday a couple months ago about how Rome would lay you flat on your back and put the beam on top of you and then put the big stone on top of the beam until you couldn't breathe anymore to get you to confess your crime? That's the word thipsis. That's the word Paul used with tribulation. It means pressures that are placed upon you and the whole body from every point, manifold or multi-pressured troubles. You ever feel like that? Like your body, your life's in a vice grip? That's a word Paul used, pressures. Hey, Paul says, don't lose heart over my pressures. It's for you, which is your glory. You know, Paul was a funny guy. When he went into a city, he didn't look at the hotel rooms. He checked out how the prisons were. That's where he was going to be checking in soon. Now, what kind of prisons do you have in this town? That's where he would wind up. Oh, Lord, make me like Paul. Make me like Paul. All right, go to jail. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Well, I don't want to be like Paul that much. Isn't that funny? Listen, we'll end with this. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who has justified us. Who is he who condemns us? It's Christ who died for us. And furthermore, it is Christ who has risen, who is even now at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall thipsis, a plank and a stone placed upon us and pressuring us from all sides, or distress, or persecutions, or starvation, nakedness, shall peril, or violence by the sword? As it is written, for your sakes we, the ministers of God, are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul was a true shepherd. Whatever caused his flock pain, caused him pain. Whatever brought them joy, brought Paul joy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 3 and verses 11 through 13, where Paul declares that God's purposes concerning his people are eternal. We'll continue with more of our journey through Ephesians on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Our goal here at Real Radio is to build you up in the faith and to present the truth of the Almighty to non-believers so that they might come to a saving knowledge of Messiah. But no matter how strong our faith, from time to time, doubt creeps in. Doubt can be discouraging, but none of us can escape it completely. Remember, even the disciple Peter had times of doubt. The word doubting has forever been attached to Thomas, another of Jesus' disciples. Even the great prophet John the Baptist knew the struggle of doubt personally. We all struggle with doubt. And this is why Pastor Jack has put together a two-part DVD presentation called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Gives us 10 reasons why we all struggle with doubt in our lives as believers, no matter what kinds of doubts you've had about the faith. Pastor Jack has likely dealt with the issue. So here's our offer for this month. For your gift of any amount in support of the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll send you this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of Real Radio, we'll be glad to send your way this two-part DVD set, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.